Alan Kring Productions, in association with Emergent Light Studio, presents the Illinois State Collegiate Compendium, academic lectures in business and economics. This is Business Finance FIL 240 for spring semester 2026.
Today, forward rates and the Fisher effect. And this will be a pretty short lecture, and then you'll be able to get down to the quiz itself. But we'll have a quick look at the numbers to start this off. And the thing, I think I've already mentioned this, that this is after the end of the last quarter of 2025, and now the companies are beginning to release their earnings, their income statement, balance sheet, and all that, pursuant to their requirements with the SEC. So we're beginning to see the earnings of a bunch of just lots and lots of companies coming out. And the market, as I said, always has its expectations based upon what the company estimated its earnings per share would be. And then there's the reality when they release the actual numbers. And today was a day when there were numbers released. Interestingly, in some cases, the market is pleasantly surprised by the actual earnings, and you see a push upward in the stock. Other times, the market is somewhat disappointed. Interestingly, in that regard, a case in point would be Microsoft, which actually posted very good earnings, but the market punished it because their expectations would be that the earnings would be going to be better. And so sometimes it's not quite what you think. Good earnings should push the price up, but in some cases it doesn't do that at all. But we'll first look at the global numbers here. And as you can see, the numbers are on the Asian side, it's kind of a mixed story, but the Nikkei was up a strong 1% today, as was the Hang Seng. It was up 0.5%. But Australia was down somewhat, so that was a little disappointment. But then you get over to Europe and the British Isles, and they had fairly strong days. You can see the CAC was really surging by the end there, up 0.81%. And Euronext was up good. Whoa, it was really up. And then in Great Britain and UK, we had the Financial Times was up a nice, healthy 1.25%. So that side of the world, all over, they were having a pretty good day. We get over here, and the Dow is now nosediving as we come to the end of the trading day there. The Dow had had a big surge at the beginning, and then it sort of quieted down, no new information. And then something really started setting off the Dow, and it started to take a nosedive here. And it may actually finish up negative. Right now it's up only 0.12% from the beginning of the day. And the S&P 500, it's taking a dive too. It was up pretty good earlier, and now it's up only 0.33%. So something is spooking the markets here in the U.S. And the NASDAQ was up, well, I think it was up almost 1.25%, and now it has trimmed that gain back to only 0.5%. And so something is upsetting the markets over here for now. Now, something that I bring up here, and I think I've mentioned this a little bit before, there's an index here called the VIX. Now, the VIX isn't a stock. The VIX is a metric of the volatility of the market, the ups and downs of prices, how much they're doing. Now, all through the day, it had been quieting down. You notice the VIX is in red territory. That means that the volatility of prices overall was going down. But here in the last couple of hours, as you can see, in sync with the markets themselves dropping, the VIX is starting to show signs of life again, more volatility. And so those two are going hand in hand. Stock prices are going down as traders begin to move prices back and forth more aggressively. Taking a look here at the commodities. Now, the commodities have just awakened in the last little bit here, but here we can see that Brent and crude are really for all practical purposes on that 65-70 that I had told you about, 65 for the overall average crude and 70 for the light sweet Brent. That's, in other words, we're getting a little bit more push. There is a slack in demand, which should bring down the price of oil, but there's also supply cuts starting to happen as oil-producing countries begin to ease back on their production. And right now, the supply side is winning, and prices are rising somewhat. This doesn't mean that gasoline prices are going to go through the roof, but they probably will start to edge up a little more over the next couple of weeks. Nothing spectacular. It will get bad probably closer toward the end of the year. Gas prices will start to show some real aggressive turns upward, but that's not for today. And gold, it's like I said, it's above 5,000. It's just sort of parked there right now at 5,000. But the trend will probably be for gold to just keep going up in price. How long it will take to go to 6,000 is anyone's guess, but some bad news in the economy could send it spiraling upward very quickly. Look at the sector map here. As you can see, overall, the sector map is showing that it was a bullish day. That is true right now, but if we give it another hour or so, as you saw, those prices were starting to tail off on the indexes and the NASDAQ exchange. This may start to show more reds by the end of the day here in an hour. The technology sector is still pretty strong right now, but who knows where it's going to go from here. Let me show you something real quick. Microsoft, MSFT. Microsoft has recovered somewhat, but it had really taken a nosedive. I didn't mean to do that. See how when they reported their earnings, the earnings disappointed the investors. The earnings were good, but they weren't as good as the investors had expected them to be. So there was a sell-off in Microsoft right here, and it's continued to kind of tail downward after that. That's a five-day chart there, and what you're seeing there is when that first band right in here is when the earnings were released, and the market just punished the company. Now let me take you on a little journey here. Walmart, WMT, its earnings are showing that the market was quite disappointed by them. Now, to take you over in context, I want to do a holding period return problem for you. Couple of those just to give you the feel for that. Walmart. Okay, come on. Oh, over here. Duh. Now pull up the holding period return, HPR, and files, spreadsheets, holding period return, HPR, the three vertical dots, download the file. And we'll wait for that to happen. Okay, good. Now what I can do here now is to pair these up so that you can see a holding period return calculation just to get you in the mood to do this. To do it, we're going to say, okay, Walmart is right now trading at about 125.89. That's the beginning price, 125.89. Now, the projection is that Walmart in 1 year will be paying 129.02. 129.02. Okay? Now we put in the dividend yield. Now that dividend yield is not really impressive at all. That's 0.73%. I mean, dividend yield above 2%. That's a nice dividend, but when you see it go much below that, especially when it goes below 1%, I mean, that's a dividend. They're just sending it out to shut people up, really. So in this case, we have a dividend yield of 0.73%. So this stock, which has a beta of 0.67, so it's a low-risk stock, but over a one-year holding period, including both this increase in the stock price and your dividend check, this stock is going to earn you 3.22%. That's lousy. You can do a lot better than that and still keep in low beta stocks. I've shown you a few like AT&T and Verizon. This company's expected return for a one-year hold is just ridiculously bad. So we're going to walk away from that one for a while. And let me do a couple of other companies that have... I want to do Home Depot. Home Depot, HD, Home Depot. And we can see that it has taken a little bit of a punishment. See this drop off? Look how it's dropped off through the day today as it reported its earnings. Notice that this is an interesting one because at the beginning, there was this push really high. And then it just was wiped out by the bears. But then the bulls came in and said, oh, this is a bargain. We're going to buy. And so they did that. But all through the day, that last surge of buying has essentially fizzled out. And now you're seeing that, yeah, the bears were right. This company's earnings report really did suck. Taking this one down here, I'm doing the same thing again with holding period return. We've got, if you buy it today, you'll pay about $381.25. The projection is that in exactly 1 year, it will be $398.09. Now, this one has a decent dividend, 2.4%. I want to point out something to you here. If when you start typing in 2.4 and the percent sign stays there, you're fine. Sometimes Excel does this weird thing where it doesn't put this percent sign. So if that ever happens to you, make sure you type in the percent sign because it should do it on its own. It should say, oh, you're putting in a percent. But sometimes it doesn't think that there's a percent there. And so just be sure to keep an eye on that you've got a percent sign there, or if you don't have it, put it in. And so our return on Home Depot, well, you know, that's a 6.82. If you look at the beta of that stock, the beta is above 1. That should be a much better expected one-year holding period return. 6.82% is lousy, really, comparatively speaking, especially for a stock with a beta above 1. So we're seeing here another stock that you probably don't want to worry too much about. Going on, one more that I'll do here is Lowe's, because it's in the same general home improvements sector as Home Depot. Let's see if they're doing any better. So Lowe's, we're going to say, okay, if we buy it today, we'll pay about $280.78. In 1 year, the price is projected to be $284.25. And their dividend, not anything impressive, is 71%. So the holding period return for this stock is just terrible. The stock is nearly a beta of 1, so it's about the risk of the market portfolio, and it's delivering only 2.95% over the coming year, expected to. There is another stock that you just don't want to worry about. It just doesn't look like it's going to do anything. And in this case, we've seen Home Depot and Lowe's, both in the same home improvement sector of the economy, both of them are showing a lot of weakness. That is probably the result of the expectation that as we slip into recession, home improvements and all that kind of stuff are not going to fare well in that kind of an economic environment. So that whole sector, we're already seeing that the markets are thinking seriously that these kinds of companies are not good investment decisions. So we probably wanted to just simply stay away from that kind of that sector of the economy. The same might be true of the high technology sector, which seems to be showing a lot of interest in getting out of it from the big boys on Wall Street and the heavy investors. So you begin to think more in terms of, well, what will do well in an economy like this? Consumer basics, things like companies that make bathroom tissue, soaps, shampoos, telecommunications companies that are well established because people will not give up their mobile phones. Those would probably do well too. So you begin to paint yourself a picture by the numbers. As you look at these, you begin to see what sectors are probably not going to be strong and what sectors are going to be strong. Moving along here, let me take this off the board here for a few minutes. I want to show you a couple of spreadsheets that I am interested in having you be comfortable with. Now, obviously, I had shown you, you'll want to have that holding period return and sheet, and of course you'll have the present and future value sheet for the Excel exam. Now this is in the lockdown browser, so when you see those two links that I give you in there, use the arrow and double click the arrow to get the lockdown browser to allow Excel to come through, Excel spreadsheets to come through. Shouldn't have much of a problem. If you see just a picture of an Excel sheet, you didn't double click on the down arrow. So just get rid of that picture and just do it again, and you should be able to get the Excel spreadsheets to come down for you. I brought in another sheet I'll introduce here. Now, this won't be on this quiz, but it does have to do with interest rates. It's called the interest rates spreadsheet. Download it, and I'll walk with it here for a while. This has to do with something I showed you, a formula I showed you on Monday, where you can calculate a nominal rate. A nominal rate is nothing but the real rate plus the expected inflation premium. And that's easy. That's a very easy formula. However, it's not technically correct. It's close to the right. It gives numbers that are close to the correct answer, but not exactly the right answer. And the two diverge more the bigger these numbers here are, or the more different they are. So in other words, by this simple formula here, you would have like a real rate, let's say, of 4%, and an expected inflation premium of, let's say, 3%. So by this estimating formula, the nominal would be 4% plus 3%, which comes out to be 7%. However, again, this is just an estimate. The actual formula, which comes from what's called the Fisher effect, the nominal is actually 1 plus the real rate quantity, the quantity 1 plus the real rate times the quantity 1 plus the expected inflation premium. So that would give you 1 plus 0.04 quantity times one the quantity 1 plus 0.03. So that would be 1.04 times 1.03. I put together a little spreadsheet right here that makes that a little easier for you to do. All you have to do is put in the rates and you'll get the right answers. So if I put in the 4% and I put in the 3%, you can see that the non-Fisher version comes up as we expected, 7. Using the second formula, it comes up to be 7.12. That's a little bit of a difference. That's 12 basis points difference. And if you're doing more technical kinds of work, that's quite a difference in interest rate. It would amount to hundreds and hundreds of dollars in a present value or a future value. So this is just a way of letting you do this without having the possibility of making a mistake in your calculation. So if I had, let's say, the real rate was 3.59%. If the real rate was 3.59%, and the expected inflation premium was 2.85%, as you can see, the difference is 10 basis points in the estimate versus the actual. And I could ask that on a quiz or on the midterm just to make sure that you know that difference. Now, for all practical uses, a lot of people, even me, will just add up the 3.59 plus the 2.85. But if you want to be technically correct, you would do 1 plus 0.0359 times 1 plus 0.0285 to do it. And this Excel spreadsheet just kind of helps you along with that. To make sure that you don't make a mistake in your calculations. And that's the main thing. The one that comes here is called the forward rates. And I'm not going to go through that here today. I'll do that on Monday. But just as a summary, that is a real pain in the backside. That calculation involves a little bit heavier duty algebra. Arithmetic and algebra to get those forward rates. Now the book does as good as it can at that, but no matter how hard you try, it can get you seeing why, how it's done, and then getting your answers right. And what I did in this second sheet, again, I'm not going to work on it with you, in that second sheet. We let Excel carry the heavy load of doing the algebra and the arithmetic. It saves a lot of people making a mistake because to find those, you have to use exponents and then you have to use square roots, cube roots, and all that kind of stuff. And that can really slow you down. But with this sheet, everything's done for you. As long as you put in the Treasury bill rates, the forward rates, which are the hidden rates, the intra-year rates, reveal themselves to you. And we're really interested in that kind of thing, in studying interest rates to see what they're telling us about where the economy is going to go. So on Monday, I'll be talking about things like annualizing rates, and I'll talk about things like yield curves, before we go on to the subject of bonds and all of that. Without further ado, what I would like you to do right now is to log yourselves in to your attendance. Make sure you log yourself in today because we're comparing those with what you've done on you doing the quiz. And once you've done that, I will prepare the quiz for you to take and I'll put the password on the board. When you're finished with a quiz, that's all I will have for you today.